Mrs. Gardner.
Ms. Van Schaik, you said you were here in Clearwater in 77?
Mm-hmm.
What period? What month were you?
It was in the summer. It was March, April, May, June. It was before it started to get real hot.
Oh, okay. I was going to say we have an awful lot of hot months. You left the organization in 79,
That's
right?
Correct.
You made an interesting comment about that when you came to Clearwater, you made a tour of the Fort Harris. Why would you make a tour of the Fort Harris? Is that your standard policy when you go someplace that you would tour the building?
I was ethics trained in the organization. And standard policy from someone that's ethics trained is basically just to see what's going on in the area. It's the way I was programmed for so many years.
Well, I think that's interesting because you're the first one that's ever really knew what was going on. I mean, they never went beyond their room and their training, it seems.
I had kind of a freedom in the Fort Harrison. See, I've been in for years. And being that I was taking an ethics course...
They didn't doubt that you would ever question anything.
Yeah, that I would never question what was going on, basically. They didn't think, and definitely that I wouldn't report it. I mean, the course that I was taking was ethics. So someone that's taking those kind of courses surely isn't going to go around to press anybody and expel on what's going on.
You also made comment that you're part of the C organization, and yet you came here as a public person?
Yeah, I was in Sea Org and changed my contract because I was working for the Mission of the Meadows. And when you work for a mission, you sign a regular contract instead of a Sea Org contract.
Your billion-year contract is in null and void.
They canceled our billion-year contract, and this is going to sound outrageous, in Las Vegas because we didn't have a ship we could stick in the middle of the desert and do what's called Project Zero. And it's really... We didn't have a ship. We had to go with what was called Project Zero at that time, and we had this little rowboat in the lake, and in this lake out in Lake Mead. Anyway, they had to cancel our Sea Org contract in Las Vegas, basically because we couldn't go through this ship training because there was no ship. You can't put a ship in the desert.
Well, how do they go through this sea training in Clearwater?
They had the ship. Their objective was is the Apollo and the Excalibur were here in port at different times, and they were going to take each staff member from the Fort Harrison and go through what's called the Project Zero. And then in Los Angeles, they also had the ships off port there, so you could go through regular sea training duty, but we weren't capable of putting the ship in the desert, so we had our Zero contract canceled.
So if you were a public person and the living conditions that you lived in were fine?
I had my own room to myself.
Did you go into any of the staff rooms or their living quarters?
The only staff that I was in was executive staff.
Which would have been...
Would have been the same kind of quarters as mine. Either they had their own room, other than... I walked into where the RPF was downstairs.
That was quarters. That was a small closet type area with 15 bunks, which you said earlier.
Yeah, people just stacked up sleeping.
What about, was there anything in the garage at that time? We were told earlier that that's where dorms were. Did you get to the garage?
That was their dorm.
Oh, that locker room. It only had 15. We were reported they had 54.
Oh, and the dorms down. See, each, the way they had the room set up, there was different kinds of staff there. There was staff for just the public that had money. Then there was staff for the staff, and there were seven different orgs at that time, seven different organizations operating at that particular time. There was a guardian's office, and then there was a public, it's a very complicated, I don't want to get into all the organization details, but it would take too long. Anyway, the staff downstairs basically had, some of them had their own rooms, some were sharing rooms. The ones that were single, I couldn't have told you how many staff at that particular time. There was probably, I think, about 350 staff operating.
Executive staff or?
All staff. I'm talking about all staff. And then it varied between 350 and 400 people back and forth at that time.
Okay. What were you told about the guardian office when you first joined?
That it was a protective organization part of Scientology.
In the outline we've given, there's a comment about illegal aliens that are working in the Fort Harrison. Could you elaborate a little bit more on it?
I can't get into it because of legal reasons.
Okay.
Right now.
Through the years that you were there, what were you promised or what guarantees were you given when you continued auditing?
Well, basically that I would have no more problems. That's just a very simple basis.
Did you have any encounter with the blown student?
Yes, I did.
Someone that was physically brought back?
Yes, I have physically brought back people myself.
You have?
Yes.
You may.
I can't get into that, so because
I'm not. I just expect you would testify to. Okay. You may comment that you were in the.
Okay. I can testify on that.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to stay away from my case.
Right.
There were several incidents where I had to go out and get blown staff members because I handled that particular area. And whatever it took at that time, you know, if we had to bodily set the guy in the car to bring him back. And I brought back, through the years, probably, I don't know, maybe different times where we had to stick somebody in a car, 25 staff.
What happened? Are you aware what happened to that blown student once they came back to base?
As far as base, they got RPF. And now, are you talking about a student or a staff member?
Whoever that would blow and
people
come back.
That were public persons that maybe would leave the portion or not be there for a while were not RPF.
Okay. It was just staff that would blow.
People with money were not RPF. And that's the essential.
Good rationale. What you mentioned you were an EPF.
It's the same as RPF. It's a state project force. We laid carpet and painted walls.
Why were you an EPF? I'm just trying to establish that this is a standard policy there.
Briefly, because I had an upset with an executive in the organization, I've been in EPF several different instances. The one that I could probably expand on the most was I disagreed with the fact that Barbara Glass wanted to leave my 5-year-old locked up in a building by herself and leave her there. And I did. That was the first time. That was one of the last times I actually got EPF'd because I got in a fight with an executive officer because I refused to let them lock my child up for any reason.
BYU Blue. Your husband, is your husband a Scientologist?
No, he's not.
He's not. Okay, I can't think of anything else that's
coming
up. Freeloader debt. Were you charged a freeloader debt when you left?
Probably less than that, $22,000. It was some enormous. I think it was $22,000 I was charged after I worked 15 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You were here in 77. Did that not give you a feeling that there was something wrong?
Yes, that actually, my experience with being at Clearwater, I knew definitely something was wrong.
But you still weren't able to leave.
Yes. Not until almost a year later. I didn't pull things really together for almost a year after that.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Hatchett?
I probably have two questions for you. You spoke in terms of that child that was accidentally killed in the parking lot.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you actually witness that yourself?
No, I did not.
How close did you know the evidence may have been true? Someone told you, you knew the ambulance picked him up?
Someone told me, and there was a lot of uproar at that. Just before I got there, there was a lot of uproar going on. And that's when the whole change came about, that all the children had to be removed from the Fort Harrison.
And where did they place them?
Good question.
What was the question, Mr. Hatchett?
Where did they place the children?
Where did they place the children after removing them from the Fort?
I have no idea.
But you knew where yours was.
Mine is with me, thank God.
I mean, during this time.
Mine was not, thank God, in Clearwater at that time.
Will you ask her if the death of this child was ever reported to the police?
Good question. Was the death of the child ever reported?
As far as I know, no.
Right. To establish whether or not the guardian officer was following policy, when they use shake and bake against you, is that the correct term?
Yes, it's called shake and bake.
All right. Were you aware that this was a written policy?
No, I wasn't aware of really shake and bake until someone had actually left the guardian's office that told me. I know what they had done to me. Shake and bake was the name of what they were doing to me.
Can you describe what shake and bake is or was?
Well, I received two different incidents. One was a setup where I was told by Pam Bevan that she had cancer, so I was to go over and get prescriptions of pills at a motel for her cancer, not realizing at the time that they were taking photographs of me outside of the motel, and that there were seven people upstairs and a woman that looked like me that stayed in the motel to throw a big scene like there was an orgy happening upstairs in the motel. Now, that was not an incident that they completed, because I became aware, it was like a few incidents, I became aware that in the motel that something was going on, there was a setup, so we got people out there to the motel, and of course, there was seven Scientologists checked into the motel that disappeared right out. They just totally disappeared out of the motel. The other one was an incident where they sent a gentleman by the name of Gary Klingler to me to say things that my husband was having affairs, that my attorney was working with the CIA, that I should get rid of my attorney. And I stole that document that he had written out from the guardian's office, which is public evidence on my case. Oh, by the way, Pam Bevan was my auditor and was also responsible. She was also the person that was in charge of setting me up. It's ironic that they stick your auditor, the person that you give all your personal information to, as your key person to attack you after you get out. They have all of your personal information about you. I don't think I'll be the last case that they've used that with.
Thank you.
Any other questions of you, Mr. Toonmaker?
I just have one. It's my understanding that you were physically detained.
Yes, I was.
Could you explain that a little bit, please, or what happened?
I was brought to a room, what's the date? It would have been 1974, February. And the house I have since located is out in the middle of the desert in Las Vegas. It was with Pam Bevan and another guy, and I still don't know the guy's name at that time. Basically, I was stuck under heavy auditing processes.
Was there something leading up to this as to why?
Money. I had money in an account, and they basically wanted the money I had in the account.
You were actually locked up and were not allowed to leave?
I was not allowed to leave. Whether the front door was constantly locked 24 hours a day, I could not answer you that question because I stayed in one room, in a bedroom. So I don't, you know, if it was or not, I was not coherent enough because I felt like I was really drugged out for quite a period of time. I was not home at all.
A while ago, you made a comment about PR, or that was, I think you said, well, it's just PR, public relations, relating to the question Commissioner Birdfield came up with. Can you, are there procedures that are established relating to public relations in terms of how these things are dealt with people outside the organization?
Anytime there's bad press or an ex-Scientologist reporting the truth, they do a whole campaign to show what a nice guy they are, like open house. They clean up their act, basically. And until when press dies down and other people like myself that are ex-Scientologists go back to their normal life, they say it's kind of like a joke to them. It's we've done this. I did this several times in Las Vegas with city officials there in Las Vegas. Anytime we had a kind of an upset, We go through a cleaning house and we remove our children to different places. And it happens in every Scientology organization across the United States.
And you personally had firsthand knowledge of this occurrence? I mean, you actually participated?
We've done a cleanup in Las Vegas. And at the time that I was on flag, they were doing a cleanup with the children, getting the children out of the area.
Thank you.
I'll get back to the child that's run over. I have no reason to believe that it was an accident, but you don't know that if it was reported, or you say you don't think it was reported to the police?
I don't know whether it was reported or not. The child was only like 2 years old.
Do you know the name of the child?
Yeah, but I'm afraid of getting in a lawsuit.
All right.
I don't...
On this particular issue, for the information of the commission, we have been investigating it for some time, and I've had some conversations with one or two city officials about it. And I can say that my office is currently investigating it. There is a person who has some knowledge about the subject, and at the present time, however, our investigatory efforts are inconclusive.
I understand. You contributed a lot of money, and the organization received a lot of money. Do you know where that money went for? I mean, apparently they were not. I will not speculate. What did the money go for?
What did it go to?
You took in millions of dollars a week, certainly millions a year in Clearwater. Where did all that money go?
So L. Ron Hubbard can live very comfortably, and the executive staff can live very comfortably, is my assumption. I haven't seen money go back to staff, and I'm sure that the staff currently at the Fort Harrison, if they ever sit down and look at their CGI, or their gross income, and ask themselves the question as to really where all this money is going, they would probably, if they really studied their income policies really closely, they would find out that it's not definitely going back into staff, and it's not going back into what they think that it's going back into. I would say it's going into people's pockets.
Well, these allegations and questions, why didn't it take you so long to start raising these questions in your own mind? Why did it take you so long?
After 9 years, you become indoctrinated with one thing, and you tend to believe that one thing. The only thing I can say is I've been out for over 3 years now, and it's only three. It's only until the last year I could say my life has gone normal for me. It's a mental, you've become a mental cripple, and you're terrified with the fact that if you leave, that your life will be exposed on a kind of a public board. There are things that people all personally hide, you know, whether it's a first kiss with a boyfriend, or that you all keep that are very personal, private things in your life. And those things are all given to your auditor. And there's nothing that they could personally do to me. And my life is public record. And it's like, how many people sitting in this courtroom would like their life public record?
Did you continue to receive auditing after you learned the information would be made public?
Oh, no. I have not received any auditing.
No. After, when you were within the organization, and you know that information that you were giving could be used against you, did you continue to receive auditing in spite of the fact that you knew that?
No, I wasn't aware until after I got out that my auditing was going to be used against me. Honestly. I don't think any person's really aware until they get out that their auditing is public information. You get you don't believe anything. You couldn't possibly, if you're a staff member, believe anything other than that the group is great, and you don't believe that that's true. You're conditioned and brainwashed, and you don't believe those things until they happen.
Why did you disconnect from your family?
Because my parents were supposed to be suppressive people as far as Scientology was concerned. I found that my parents are the most sanest people that I have around me currently.
With all these things going around in Clearwater, why didn't you call the... Well, I guess I probably answered the question. Why didn't you call the Board of Health? And but apparently you were dependent on them, and you just believed that... I'm not going to speculate.
That's a totally different issue. I did end up in an upset over that. And rather than being in Clearwater and having my child in Las Vegas, it's not a very cool thing to get in a fight with executives in Clearwater, having your child in a different place, and start a Board of Health meeting. And I was so indoctrinated to realize that I had citizenship. I didn't realize I was a citizen until 3 years ago.
You didn't realize you were a citizen?
Absolutely. I've not been a citizen of the United States. I've been a citizen of Scientology.
Well, you don't mean it that you're an alien.
No, I'm not an alien in that sense, no.
Do you remember where the children were kept when they were taken a mile or a mile and a half ride from the Fort Harrison?
No.
Didn't
before.
The children were at Clearwater when I was there. They were setting up a different facility at that time, and the parents were upset because the facility was being removed from the Fort Harrison. Where the children ended up, only the parents at the Fort Harrison could answer that.
Okay.
Where
were they kept? At the Fort Harrison, where were they kept? In the back?
In the back, right behind the parking lot.
Yeah.
Didn't the parents ever question it? That they don't want the children taken an hour and a half drive away?
Yeah, there were some parents that questioned that, and they got RPS.
Well,
there were parents that definitely did question that. You know, motherhood and fatherhood is something that is a natural instinct. And thank God for it, because that's why a lot of us, as we got older, got the hell out of there.
What did it take you? What was your personal thing? What did it take you to start raising questions? What was the final straw that you just said, I've got to start questioning and I've got to get out of this organization?
David's death.
David's death. That's your brother-in-law.
Right.